The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. Chapter 1, The Total Money Makeover Challenge. As lost as a ball in tall weeds. That is exactly how I felt. Although it was 15 years ago, I can still taste the emotion as if it were yesterday. Out of control, lost, no sense of power. I felt dread creep across the room like the afternoon shadows on a cold winter's day. Sitting again at the kitchen table with too much month left at the end of the money, I was not having fun. This adult stuff where a wife looks at you to provide and kids expect to be fed and kept warm was not exactly working. I didn't feel like some powerful adult. Instead, there was a little boy inside of me who was very afraid. Afraid of this month's bills, afraid of this month's mortgage, and absolutely terrified when I considered the future. How was I going to send kids to college, retire, enjoy life, and not live at the edge of money worries? It seemed every month I sat at the same table with the same worries, fears, and problems. I had too much debt, too little savings, and no sense of control over my life. No matter how hard I worked, it seemed I couldn't win. When Sharon and I talked about money, we ended up in a fight, leaving her feeling afraid and me feeling inadequate. I didn't need a get-rich-quick guy to pump me up or tell me to be positive. I didn't need a secret formula to riches. I wasn't afraid of hard work or sacrifice. I didn't want to feel my way into being positive. I was positive of only one thing. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was tired of sitting down to do the bills and having a heaviness come over me. All the money came in, all the money went out. I owe, so off to work I go. You know the drill and all the cliches that go with the drill. Oh, some months everything seemed to work. I could tell myself then, oh, well, this is how everyone lives. Those times offered enough wiggle room that I could continue to lie to myself that we were making headway, but deep down I knew we weren't. I did it my way. My way wasn't working. Enough! This stinks! If you've ever had any of those feelings, you are going to love this audiobook, and more important, you will love your Total Money Makeover. 15 years ago, my wife Sharon and I went broke. We lost everything due to my stupidity in handling money, or not handling it, as the case may be. People who buy a $25,000 double-wide home will in 5 years owe $22,000 on a trailer worth $8,000. Financially, it's like living in your new car. Please don't kid yourself on this. Call it manufactured housing. Put it on a permanent foundation. Add lots of improvements around the yard. And it is still a trailer when you are ready to sell it. If the typical consumer considering buying your home can walk up and tell it was ever a trailer in any form, your home will go down, not up, in value. The only exception to the no trailers rule is Ron's plan. Ron graduated from Financial Peace University and was on track for a total money makeover. Ron and his wife prayerfully decided to sell their nice $120,000 home on which they owed only $50,000. They bought a small farm and a very used $3,000 trailer. With no payments and an income of $85,000, they saved and built a very nice, paid-for $250,000 home in just a couple of years. Myth. Prepaying my funeral or my kids' college expenses is a good way to invest and protect myself against inflation. Truth. Plans for prepaid funerals and college expenses give low rates of return and put money in the other guy's pocket. When you prepay something, your return on investment, interest, is the amount the item will go up in value before you use it. In other words, by prepaying, you avoid the price increases, and that is your return. Prepaying items is like investing at the item's inflation rate. For example, prepaying college tuition will save you the amount tuition goes up between the time you lock in and the time your child begins his college education. The average inflation rate for tuition nationally is about 7%, so prepaying tuition is like investing money at 7%. That is not bad, but mutual funds will average about 12% over a long period of time, and you can save for college tax-free. More about college saving later in your total money makeover. The same concept is true for prepaid burial plans. Pre-planning the details of your funeral is wise, but prepaying is unwise. Sarah, age 39, paid $3,500 for a prepaid funeral. Why? If she were to save $3,500 in a mutual fund, averaging 12%, upon an average death age of 78, Sarah's mutual fund would be worth $368,500. I think Sarah could be buried for that with a little left over, unless, of course, she is kin to King Tut. Sharon and I would never use the emergency fund without first discussing it and being in agreement. We also would never use the emergency fund without sleeping on the decision and praying about it. Our agreement, our prayer, and our cooling off period will help us determine if this decision is a rationalization, a reaction, or a real emergency. Keep your emergency fund in something that is liquid. Liquid is a money term that means easy to get to with no penalties. I use growth stock mutual funds for long-term investing, but I would never put my emergency fund there. If my car engine blew, I would be tempted to borrow to fix it rather than cash in my mutual fund because the market is down. We always want to wait on it to go back up. That means I have an emergency fund in the wrong place. For the same reason, don't use certificates of deposit for your emergency fund because typically you will be charged a penalty for taking an early withdrawal. I suggest a money market account with no penalties and full check writing privileges for your emergency fund. We have a large emergency fund for our household in a mutual fund company money market account. Keep in mind that the interest earned is not the main thing. The main thing is that the money is available to cover emergencies. Your wealth building is not going to happen in this account. That will come later in other places. This emergency fund is to protect you against storms, give you peace of mind, and keep the next problem from becoming debt. So how much money should be in your emergency fund? We said it should be enough to cover 3 to 6 months of expenses. But should you go with the 3 months or 6 months? If you earn straight commission or are self-employed, you should use the 6 months rule. If you are single, or if you are a one-income married household, you should use the 6 months rule because a job loss in your situation is a 100% cut in household income. If your job situation is unstable or there are chronic medical problems in the family, you too should lean toward the 6 months rule. If you have a quote-unquote steady, secure job where you've been with the company or government agency for 15 years and everyone is healthy, you could lean toward the 3 month rule. Customize your emergency fund to your situation and to how your spouse deals with the feeling of risk. This fund is for actual protection and for peace of mind. So the spouse who wants this fund to be higher wins. In baby step two, I instructed you to use all non-retirement savings and investments to pay down your debt. Clean everything out and become debt-free except for the house. Use all savings and investments that don't have a penalty for withdrawal like retirement plans. Hitting bottom and hitting it hard was the worst thing that ever happened to me and the best thing that ever happened to me. We started with nothing, but by the time I was 26 years old, we held real estate worth over $4 million. I was good at real estate, but I was better at borrowing money. Even though I had become a millionaire, I had built a house of cards. The short version of the story is that we went through financial hell and lost everything. We were sued, foreclosed on, and finally, with a brand new baby and a toddler, we were bankrupt. Scared doesn't begin to cover it. But we held on to each other, and we decided we needed a change. So I went on a quest to find out how money really works, how I could get control of it, and how I could have confidence in handling it. I read everything I could get my hands on. I interviewed old rich people, people who made money and kept it. That quest led me to a really, really uncomfortable place, my mirror. I came to realize that my money problems, worries, and shortages largely began and ended with the person in my mirror. I realized also that if I could learn to manage the character I shaved with every morning, well, I could win at money. That quest led me on a new journey over the last 15 years, the journey of helping others, literally millions of others, to take that same quest to the mirror. Live events, Financial Peace University, The Dave Ramsey Show on Talk Radio, and the New York Times bestsellers, Financial Peace and More Than Enough, have enabled me to tell millions of Americans what I have learned the hard way about money. I have a challenge for you. Are you ready to take on the guy or gal in your mirror? If you are, you're ready to win. I discovered God's and Grandma's simple way of handling money. Wealth building isn't rocket science, which is a good thing for me and probably for you. Winning at money is 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge. Most of us know what to do, but we just don't do it. If I can control the guy in the mirror, I can be skinny and rich. We'll let the other audiobooks work on the skinny, and I'll help you with the rich part. No, there are no secrets, and yes, this is going to be very hard. Hey, if it were easy, every moron walking would be wealthy. So my total money makeover begins with a challenge. The challenge is you. You are the problem with your money. The financial channel or some tape sets aren't your answer. You are. You are the king of your future, and I have a plan. The total money makeover plan isn't theory. It works every single time. It works because it is simple. It works because it gets to the heart of your money problems. You. Myth. I don't have time to work on a budget, retirement plan, or estate plan. Truth. You don't have time not to. Most people concentrate on the urgent in our culture. We worry about our health and focus on our money only after they're gone. John Maxwell has the best quote on budgeting I've ever heard. I wish I had said it. A budget is people telling their money what to do instead of wondering where it went. Earl Nightingale, motivational legend, said that most people spend more time picking out a suit of clothes than planning their career or even their retirement. What if your life depended on how you managed your 401k or whether you started your Roth IRA today? Actually, it does, because the quality of your life at retirement depends on your becoming an expert in money management today. Myth. The debt management companies on TV, like Ameridebt, will save me. Truth. You may get out of debt, but only with your credit trashed. Debt management companies are springing up everywhere. These companies manage your debt by taking one monthly payment from you and distributing the money among your creditors, with whom they've often worked out lower payments and lower interest. This is not a loan, as with debt consolidation. Sometimes people get the two confused. Both are bad. Companies like Ameridebt and Consumer Credit Counseling Service can help you get better interest rates and lower payments, but at a price. When you use one of these companies and then try to get a conventional FHA or VA loan, you will be treated the same as if you had filed a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Mortgage underwriting guidelines for traditional mortgages will consider your credit trashed, so don't do it. Another problem with debt management by someone else is that your habits don't change. You can't have someone else lose weight for you. You have to change your exercise and diet habits. Handling money is the same way. You have to change your behavior. Turning all your problems over to someone else treats the symptom, not the problem. Our firm does financial counseling and certifies counselors around the nation for referrals. We will not handle your money for you. We lead you into a mandatory total money makeover. We are not babysitters. Of the debt management companies, Consumer Credit is the best. They do the most thorough job, and they are the most powerful in the renegotiation of your debt. You will still destroy your credit by using them, though, so don't do it. But if I absolutely can't talk you out of it, they're the one to use. Ameridebt has one of the worst Better Business reports of any debt management company. Stay away. Myth: I can buy a kit to clean up my credit, and all my past misdeeds will be washed away. If you used savings that you had in baby step two, start the debt snowball, you cleaned out even the emergency fund down to baby step one, save $1,000. Now is the time to rebuild your emergency fund by replacing any money you may have used to pay debt. Many times I've met someone who has $6,000 in savings at the bank making 2% interest and $11,000 in credit card debt. The very thought of using $5,000 of that savings to pay the credit cards partially off is very hard. That $6,000 emergency fund is your security blanket, and fear rises up deep inside when someone like me mentions that you should use that money to snowball your debt. You are right to feel that fear and to question whether you should spend the $5,000 to pay down the debt. You should use that money only if you and your whole family are into a total money makeover. I know even if everyone is on board, gazelle intense, and there is a plan, my suggestion still scares some of you. Good. Don't you think one of the things that makes the gazelle intense is fear? As your total money makeover completely changes your money habits, you will use the emergency fund less and less. Sharon and I haven't touched our emergency fund in over 10 years. When we first started, everything was an emergency. But as the total money makeover begins to take effect, you have fewer and fewer things you can't cover in your monthly budget. What used to be a huge life-altering event will become a mere inconvenience. When you are debt-free and aggressively investing to become wealthy, taking a few months off from investing will put a new engine in a car. When I say the emergency fund is Murphy repellent, that is only partially correct. The reality is that Murphy doesn't visit as much. But when he does, we hardly notice his presence. When Sharon and I went broke, our heating and air system quit, and the repair cost $580. This was a huge, big, hairy deal. Last month, I had a new $570 water heater installed because the old one started leaking, and I hardly noticed. I wonder if the stress relief that your total money makeover provides will allow you to live longer. I keep saying that you are debt-free except for the house at this point and saving to finish the emergency fund. What if you don't have a home yet? I love real estate, but do not buy a home until you finish this step. A home is a blessing, but if you move into home ownership with debt and no emergency fund, Murphy will set up residence in the spare bedroom. Saving for a down payment or a cash purchase of a home should occur after becoming debt-free in step two and after finishing the emergency fund in step three. Truth: only inaccuracies can be cleaned from credit reports. So this is a scam. You can't have anything taken off your report unless the item is inaccurate. If you have an inaccuracy that needs to be removed, do it yourself. Accurate bad credit stays unless you lie. Lying for the purpose of getting money is fraud. Don't do it. Clean your credit with a total money makeover. I will show you how to live under control, pay cash for stuff so you don't need credit, and over time your credit will clean itself. Myth: my divorce decree says my spouse has to pay the debt, so I don't. Truth: divorce decrees do not have the power to take your name off credit cards and mortgages. So if your spouse doesn't pay, be ready to. You still owe the debt. If your ex-husband keeps his truck that you both signed for and then doesn't make the payments, your credit is damaged, the truck gets repoed, and you will get sued for the balance. If you are going to leave a marriage, make sure that all debts are refinanced out of your name or force the sale of the item. Don't have the attitude, "I don't want to make him sell his truck." If you're that much in love, don't get divorced. But if you're walking away, make it a complete clean break, even though it's painful now. The only other option is mega risk, and you can count on heartache and even more anger coming your way. Myth: that collector was so helpful, they really like me. Truth: collectors are not your friends. Your total money makeover will cause you to pay your debts. I want you to pay what you owe, but collectors are not your friends. Any deal, special plan, or settlement you make with collectors must be in writing before you send them money. Otherwise, you'll find that you don't have a deal, that they lied. And never allow collectors electronic access to your checking account, and never send postdated checks. They will abuse you if you give them this power, and there will be nothing you can do because you owe them money. Clear? Myth: I'll just file bankruptcy and start over. It seems so easy. Truth: bankruptcy is a gut-wrenching, life-changing event that causes lifelong damage. Don't let anyone fool you. I have been bankrupt and worked with the bankrupt for decades, and it is not a place you want to visit. Bankruptcy is listed in the top 5 life-altering negative events that we can go through, along with divorce, severe illness, disability, and loss of a loved one. Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which is total bankruptcy, stays on your credit report for 10 years. Chapter 13 bankruptcy, more like a payment plan, stays on your credit report for 7 years. That makes saving for a down payment baby step 3B. You should save for the home if you have the itch before moving on to the next step. There are all sorts of folks who are eager to work with you so you can make it happen sooner, but the definition of creative financing is too broke to buy a house. Next stop, serious wealth building. Well, you have made it. 2 or 2.5 years from the time you start your total money makeover, you can sit at the kitchen table with no payments other than for your house and 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in savings, which is thousands of dollars in a money market account. Close your eyes and let your emotions and your spirit visit that place. Wow, I know I see you smiling now. Once we've covered these basic steps and laid a foundation, the time has come to build some wealth. Remember, that is why we started a total money makeover. We wanted not just to be out of debt, but to become wealthy enough to give, retire with dignity, leave an inheritance, and have some expensive fun. Stay tuned for some big fun. Chapter 9, Maximizing Retirement Investing. Be financially healthy for life. I have a friend in his 40s who has a bodybuilder physique, but he is not some wild health nut. He watches what he eats, and he works out a couple of times a week. I have another friend in his 30s who diets fanatically, runs every day, lifts weights 3 times a week, but is still 40 pounds overweight. The second guy started his health journey a couple of years ago and is losing weight and getting into shape. The first muscle man maintains what he worked hard years ago to get. But he isn't working nearly as hard today. The total money makeover is the same way. Gazelle intensity is required to get to the wealth steps, but simple maintenance will keep your money muscles maintained. Keep in mind that my muscle man friend never eats 3 plates of food at a sitting. He is still aware he can lose his fitness, but he can look good and feel good with a lot less effort, assuming he remembers the principles that got him his great body in the first place. Gazelle intensity has allowed you to lose 100 pounds of debt and get your cardio emergency fund ready. That foundation will allow you to become financially fit by toning your muscles. You have attacked your debt. It is gone. With the extra money after eliminating your debt, you attacked your emergency fund. It is funded. You are now at a crucial time. What do you do with the extra money that you poured into the emergency fund and debt payoffs? Tens of thousands of ordinary people have used the system to get out of debt, regain control, and build wealth. These people have sacrificed for a short period of time, so they will never have to sacrifice again. If you're looking for a roadmap to get you home, you've found it. If you're looking for something easy or fast, you have the wrong audiobook. If you're looking for a writer who has an intricate academic theory, which don't work in the real world, well, you've got the wrong guy. I have many of the academic pedigrees, but I ended up broke. I've actually twice become a millionaire from nothing. The first time was in my 20s. The money was in real estate, and I lost that due to my stupidity. The second time, I was not yet 40, but I did the money thing right that time, and I am debt-free. I often hear about broke finance professors who bemoan that I'm way too simple, or as a recent emailer told me on the Dave Ramsey Show one day, "Dave, you're a one-trick pony." To those of you who have great but unexecuted plans, I say prove your plan. I have proven mine. This plan works, but it will cost you. It will teach you to say new words like no. In short, your total money makeover will be a personal money makeover where you learn this motto. If you live like no one else, later you can live like no one else. This is the motto for your total money makeover. It's my way of reminding you that if you will make the sacrifices now that most people aren't willing to make, later on you will be able to live as those folks will never be able to live. I'm sorry, there isn't an easier path. But the good thing about this one is, it works. You can repeat the motto to yourself as you pass up a purchase in order to hit your goals. When you work late and are tired, you can say the motto again to yourself. Of course, this isn't a magic formula. I'm not into that. But it does remind you that you will win and the payoff will be worth the cost. I don't want to walk across hot coals because it is fun. But if I can be shown how a short, painful walk will do away with a lifetime of worry, frustration, stress, and fear that being constantly broke brings me, then bring on the hot coals. My promise to you is, if you will follow the guidelines of this proven system of sacrifice and discipline, you can be debt-free. Begin saving and give as you've never given before. You will build wealth. The total money makeover isn't a magic formula to wealth. This system will not work unless you do. Bankruptcy, however, is for life. Loan applications and many job applications ask if you have ever filed for bankruptcy. Ever. If you lie to get a loan because your bankruptcy is very old, technically you have committed criminal fraud. Most bankruptcies can be avoided with a total money makeover. Your total money makeover may involve extensive amputation of stuff, which will be painful, but bankruptcy is much more painful. Myth: I can't use cash because it is dangerous. I might get robbed. Truth: you are being robbed every day by not using the power of cash. We teach people to carry cash. In a culture where the sales clerk thinks you are a drug dealer if you pay with cash, I know this suggestion may seem weird. However, cash is powerful. If you carry cash, you spend less, and you get bargains by flashing cash. Linda emailed my newspaper column complaining that she would get robbed if she carried cash. I explained to her that crooks don't have X-ray vision to look into her pocket or purse. The crooks assume that your purse is like all the others, filled with credit cards that are over the limit. Look, I'm not making light of crime. There is a chance you may get robbed because people do get robbed. And if that happens, the cash will be taken. But trust me, you need to be far more worried about the danger of using credit cards than the danger of being robbed while carrying cash. Myth: I can't afford insurance. Truth: some insurance you can't afford to be without. Today, as I went to lunch, I met Steve and Sandy in my reception area. They came by to say thanks. What for? This young couple in their 20s listened to our radio program, and because I constantly push people to get the right kinds of insurance, they did. This year, they got term insurance and an MSA health insurance policy. Good thing we did what you said to do, said Steve, as he pulled off his cap to reveal a shaved head with a big scar across the top. What in the world happened? I asked. The scar was from a biopsy that revealed inoperable brain cancer. Steve promised he is going to beat it. Sandy smiled and said, the health insurance has already paid over $100,000 in bills, and we would be sunk if we hadn't followed through, as you push all the time. Also, Steve is now uninsurable, so he's thankful to have his term life insurance in place. Our prayers are with this young couple. By being responsible and buying the right kinds of insurance, they have covered life and death, which we all have to do. We all hate insurance until we need it. We pay and pay and pay and pay premiums, and sometimes we feel insurance poor. This is not the time to give yourself a raise. It is time to invest. Investing for retirement in the context of a total money makeover doesn't necessarily mean investing to quit your job. If you hate your career path, change it. You should do something with your life that lights your fire and lets you use your gifts. Retirement in America has come to mean save enough money so I can quit the job I hate. That is a bad life plan. Harold Fisher is 100 years old. He works 5 days a week at the architectural firm he founded. Mr. Fisher doesn't work because he needs money. He works because he finds joy in what he does. He is a designer of churches. His favorite saying is, people who retire early die early. Harold Fisher is financially secure and able to do what he wants, and that defines retirement the total money makeover way. When I speak of retirement, I think of security. Security means choices. That's why I think retirement means work is an option. You can choose to write a book, to design churches, or to spend time with your grandkids. You need to reach the point where your money works harder than you do. A total money makeover retirement plan means investing with the goal of security. You already possess the ability to quit your job, and if you don't like your work, you should consider doing that. If not today, develop a 5-year game plan for transitioning into what God designed you to do. However, don't wait until you're 65 to do what you love. That said, the money part does matter. You want to reach your golden years with financial dignity, and that will happen only with a plan. USA Today reported recently that 56% of Americans do not systematically prepare for retirement age by investing. Consumer Federation of America found that of people making less than $35,000 per year, 40% said the best way for them to have $500,000 at retirement age is to win the lotto. Wealth Builder magazine's poll found 80% of Americans believe their standard of living will go up at retirement. Talk about living in a fantasy. The reality is much colder. USA Today reports that out of 100 people age 65, 97 of them can't write a check for $600. 54 are still working and 3 are financially secure. Bankruptcies among those 65 and older have gone up 164% in the last 8 years. Getting older is going to happen. You must invest now if you want to spend your golden years in dignity. Investing with the long-term goal of security is not a theory to ponder. It is a necessity that you must act on now. Baby step 4. Invest 15% of your income into retirement. Your situation isn't your spouse's fault. Well, maybe, but we'll talk later. It isn't your parents' fault. It isn't your children's fault. And it isn't your friend's fault. It's your fault. My financial life began turning around when I took responsibility for it. Please join me on a journey away from the young man I was, the one I described earlier who was racked with worry, fear, and guilt over money. Take this journey with me on your own total money makeover. But remember, the first part of the quest is confronting the man in the mirror. That man in the mirror is your total money makeover challenge. Chapter 2, Denial. I'm not that out of shape. Several years ago, I realized I had let my body dissolve into flab. I had worked so hard for so many years that I had abandoned the care of my physical condition. The first step to getting into shape was to realize that I needed to change my ways, but the second and equally important step was to identify the obstacles to getting there. What would stop me from getting into shape? Once I understood those obstacles, I began the process to lose weight, grow muscle, and become more fit. Your total money makeover is the same. You need to realize there's a problem. But you must also see what could hinder your move toward financial fitness. Look in the mirror, take a long look. What do you see?
Well, I'm really not that fat, maybe just a little flabby.
My dad used to say 90% of solving a problem is realizing there is one. Focused intensity, life or death intensity, is required for you to reset your money spending patterns. And one of your biggest obstacles is denial. The sad thing is, you can be financially mediocre in this country, financially flabby, and still be average. And if the truth be known, being average, normal, and financially flabby is pretty much okay by most folks' standards. This, however, is not an audiobook for the wimpy among us. This is an audiobook about winning, about really having something. For several years, I've spoken to live audiences, teaching them the ideas in this book. After one of those live events, Sarah told me her total money makeover came only after life placed a call to her. She said she'd heard me quote the Wall Street Journal as reporting that 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, but she honestly thought she was in the 30% who were fine. She had financially struck a pose, and the pose was denial. With two sons from her previous marriage, Sarah had just remarried and was happy and secure in her job, as was her husband, John. Their new life together seemed awesome. Their household combined income was about $75,000 a year. Those of you concerned about retirement are relieved that we've finally gotten to this step. Those who have been living in denial are wondering what all the fuss is about. Baby step four is time to get really serious about your wealth building. Remember, when you reach this step, you don't have any payments but a house payment. With only one payment, it should be easy to invest heavily. Before this step, you have ceased or have never started investing. And now, you have to really pour on the coals. Gazelle intensity in the previous steps has allowed you to be able to focus on growing a sizable nest egg. The tens of thousands of people we have met have helped me develop the 15% rule. The rule is simple. Invest 15% of before-tax gross income annually toward retirement. Why not more? You need some of your income left to do the next two steps, college saving and paying off your home early. Why not less? Some people want to invest less or none so they can get a child through school or pay off the home super fast. I don't recommend that because those kids' college degrees won't feed you at retirement. I don't recommend paying off the house first, because I've counseled too many 75-year-olds with a paid-for house and no money. They end up selling the family home or mortgaging it to eat. You need some retirement investing at this stage before saving for college and the mortgage payoff. Plus, by getting started now, the magic of compound interest will work for you. When calculating your 15%, don't include company matches in your plan. Invest 15% of your gross income. If your company matches some or part of your contribution, you can consider it gravy. By the same token, do not use your potential Social Security benefits in your calculations. I don't count an inept government for my dignity at retirement, and you shouldn't either. I'm not taking a political position, but the mathematics of that system spell doom. If Social Security isn't there when you retire, you'll be glad you listened to my advice. If by some miracle Social Security is there when you retire, that will mean I was wrong. In that case, you'll have some extra money to give away. I'm sure you'll forgive me for that. Now that you've reached this step, you need to learn about mutual funds. The stock market has averaged just below 12% return on investment throughout its history. Growth stock mutual funds are what I recommend investing in for the long term. Growth stock mutual funds are lousy short-term investments because they go up and down in value, but they are excellent long-term investments when leaving the money longer than 5 years. My personal retirement funds and my kids' college are invested in the way I teach in the Total Money Makeover. With the normal debts of small student loans, a car loan, and only $5,000 on a credit card. With life under control and going well, Sarah and John decided their new family needed a new home. Somewhere deep inside, there may have been uneasiness, but it was very deep. In May, they moved into the new home, complete with a big new payment. In September, Sarah's boss asked to see her in his office. She was excelling at work and braced herself for a big attagirl followed by a nice raise or a bonus. Instead, the boss explained her job was being eliminated. Downsizing, you know, he said. Her life's work was cut from her, and $45,000 of their $75,000 income, with the boss's chilling words. That night, there were tears, fears, and the sudden stark realization that she and John were financially fat. Suddenly, Sarah and her family were facing foreclosure on the house and repossession of the car. The basics of life had become precious. Sarah and John had listened to the Dave Ramsey show on the radio, but they always thought someone else needed a total money makeover. After all, they always held in their stomachs when standing in front of the mirror. The night after her layoff was the first night they looked in the financial mirror and saw fat people. The sight wasn't pretty. Big house payments, fat car payments, sloppy large student loans, bloated credit cards, anorexic savings, and no budget. They saw fat people. When you are physically fat, it's hard to be in denial. When you're financially fat, however, you can fake it and look good for a while. Your friends and family will participate in your fantasy/denial, which makes you believe you're doing just fine. One of the four major factors that keeps people from winning in money by getting a total money makeover is not realizing they need one. Sadly, some of the most dramatic makeovers I've seen have been by people who have had life smack them so hard they got the denial knocked out of them. If life isn't smacking you around at the moment, you are actually in a greater danger than Sarah and John the night of the layoff. You are a real candidate for financial mediocrity or even a major crisis brought on by denial. Years ago, in a motivational seminar by the master, Zig Ziglar, I heard a story about how mediocrity will sneak up on you. The story goes that if you drop a frog into boiling water, he will sense the pain and immediately jump out. However, if you put a frog in room temperature water, he will swim around happily, and as you gradually turn the water up to boiling, the frog will not sense the change. The frog is lured to his death by gradual change. But you must have insurance in some basic categories as a part of a total money makeover. Auto and homeowners insurance. Choose higher deductibles in order to save on premiums. With high liability limits, these are the best buys in the insurance world. Life insurance. Purchase 20-year level term insurance equal to about 10 times your income. Term insurance is cheap and the only way to go. Never use life insurance as a place to save money. Long-term disability. If you are 32 years old, you are 12 times more likely to become disabled than to die by age 65. The best place to buy disability insurance is through work at a fraction of the cost, and you can usually get coverage that equals from 50 to 70% of your income. Health insurance. The number one cause of bankruptcy today is medical bills. Number two is credit cards. One way to control costs is to look for large deductibles to lower your premium. If you are self-employed, look for an MSA, Medical Savings Account. This type of insurance saves premiums and taxes. Long-term care insurance. If you are over 60, buy long-term care insurance to cover in-home care or nursing home care. The average nursing home stay costs $40,000 per year, which will crack and scramble a nest egg in a heartbeat. Dad in the nursing home can use up mom's $250,000 savings in just a few short years. Make your parents get it. Myth: If I do a will, I might die. Truth, you are going to die, so do it with a will. Estate planners tell us that 70% of Americans die without a will. Dumb, really dumb. The state, known for its financial prowess, will decide what happens to your stuff, your kids, and your financial legacy. The proverb says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I am a pragmatist, and so I don't understand all the fretting over a will. A will is a gift you leave your family or loved ones. It is a gift because it makes the management of your estate very clear and light years easier. You are going to die, so go out in style and die with a will in place. We've revealed debt myths and money myths. If you have carefully listened and understood why these myths are untrue, I have great news for you. Your Total Money Makeover has already begun. The Total Money Makeover is a remaking of your view of money so that you permanently change how you deal with money. You must walk to the beat of a different drummer, the same beat that the wealthy hear. If the beat sounds normal, evacuate the dance floor immediately. The goal is to not be normal, because as my radio listeners know by now, normal is broke. Chapter 5. Two More Hurdles: Ignorance and Keeping Up with the Joneses. Now we will address two more hurdles: ignorance and keeping up with the Joneses. Hurdle number one, ignorance. No one is born financially smart. The first hurdle is ignorance. In a culture that worships knowledge, to say ignorance about money is an issue makes some people defensive. Don't be defensive. Ignorance is not lack of intelligence, it's lack of know-how. No one is born with the knowledge of how to drive a car. We are taught the skill. Likewise, no one is born with the knowledge of how to handle money. But we aren't taught that. According to the Census Bureau, the average family in America last year made $40,816. Even if they never get a raise, the average family will make over $2 million in a working lifetime. And we teach nothing about how to manage money in most high schools and colleges. We have quit teaching personal finance, and we have to start again. That is why Financial Peace for the Next Generation is taught in high schools around the nation. If you made a mess of your money and or haven't gotten the best use from it, the reason is that you were never taught to do so. Overcoming ignorance is easy. You don't need to apply to Harvard to get an MBA with a specialization in finance. You just need to spend more time on your 401k options and your budget than you do picking out this year's vacation. Hurdle number two, keeping up with the Joneses. The Joneses can't do math. The second hurdle is keeping up with the Joneses. Peer pressure, cultural expectations, reasonable standard of living. I don't care how you say it. We all need to be accepted by our crowd and our family. This need for approval and respect drive us to do some really insane things. One of the paradoxically dumb things we do is to destroy our finances by buying garbage we can't afford to try to make ourselves appear wealthy to others. Dr. Tom Stanley wrote a wonderful book in the 90s you should read entitled The Millionaire Next Door. His book is a study of America's millionaires. Remember, if you want to be thin and muscular, you should study the habits of people who are thin and muscular. If you want to be rich, you should study the habits and value systems of the rich. When we think of millionaires, we think of big houses, new cars, and really nice clothes. Stanley found that most millionaires don't have those things. He found the typical millionaire lives in a middle-class home, drives a 2-year-old or older paid-for car, and buys blue jeans at Walmart. In short, Stanley found the typical millionaire found infinitely more motivation from the goal of financial security than from what friends and family think. We can lose our health, our fitness, and our wealth gradually, one day at a time. It might be a cliche, but that's because it is true. The enemy of the best is not the worst. The enemy of the best is just fine. Change is painful. Few people have the courage to seek out change. Most people won't change until the pain of where they are exceeds the pain of change. I hope Sarah's story and the others in this audiobook will make you unwilling to stay where you are. If you keep doing the same things, you will keep getting the same results. You are where you are right now financially as a sum total of the decisions you've made to this point. If you like where you are, keep it up. Keep in mind, however, why are you listening to an audiobook called The Total Money Makeover? Is it because deep down you have the same uneasy feeling Sarah had but didn't address until it was almost too late? Are you really looking for something more? If so, I've got great news. This plan works. Break through the temptation to remain in the same situation. Don't wait for a heart attack to show you that you're overweight. Cut the carbs, the breads, the sugars, and lace up the running shoes now. The good news about Sarah and John was that the financial heart attack they had made them address their financial eating and exercise habits. The layoff was a wake-up call and the end to denial. After a year of very hard times, Sarah was able to find a whole new career. Only this time, when the checks started rolling in, Sarah and John were using this system. Every paycheck became an exciting event because they had a plan. The night I met Sarah and John, they were 2 years into their plan and smiling. They told me they were debt-free except for their house, and they had $12,000 in the bank just for emergencies. They had broken through their own denial, but they made their family uncomfortable because they refused to live like everyone else. Albert Einstein said, "Great spirits have always found violent opposition from mediocre minds." John's dad had made fun of their plan and the extra jobs they took to win. He asked if they'd join some cult or something. Sarah and John realized that all they'd been doing with money was to try to impress others, but no more. Sarah chuckled as she told me how she used to think, "We must be doing well. All these credit card companies think I'm creditworthy. Besides, I pay my credit cards off every month. How could I be in any trouble?" John was grinning now, too, as they both laughed at the language of financially fat people who think they are fine, the language of denial. Here's a Reader's Digest version of my approach. I select mutual funds that have a good track record of winning for more than 5 years, preferably more than 10 years. I don't look at their 1 year or 3 year track records because I think long term. I spread my retirement investing evenly across four types of funds. Growth and income funds get 25% of my investment. They are sometimes called large cap or blue chip funds. Growth funds get 25% of my investment. They are sometimes called mid-cap or equity funds. An S&P index fund would also qualify. International funds get 25% of my investment. They are sometimes called foreign or overseas funds. Aggressive growth funds get the last 25% of my investment. They are sometimes called small-cap or emerging market funds. For a full discussion of what mutual funds are and why I use this mix, go to our website at DaveRamsey.com and visit my TMMO. The invested 15% of your income should take advantage of all the matching and tax advantages available to you. Always start where you have a match. When your company will give you free money, take it. If your 401k matches the first 3%, the 3% you put in will be the first 3% of your 15% invested. If you don't have a match, or after you have invested through the match, you should next fund Roth IRAs. There are some limitations as to income and situation, but most people can invest in a Roth IRA. The Roth grows tax-free. If you invest $3,000 per year from age 35 to age 65 and your mutual fund averages 12%, you will have $873,000 tax-free at age 65. You have invested only $90,000, 30 years times $3,000. The rest is growth, and you pay no taxes. The Roth IRA is a very important tool in virtually anyone's total money makeover. How much do you need to retire with dignity and security? How long will it take you to get there? You are secure and will leave a nice inheritance when you can live off 8% of your nest egg per year. If you make 12% on your money average and inflation steals 4%, 8% is a perfect number. If you make 12% and only pull out 8%, you grow your nest egg by 4% per year. That 4% keeps your nest egg and therefore your income ahead of inflation till death do you part. If you can live with dignity on $40,000, you need a nest egg of only $500,000. Sarah told me that while she hoped she or John never lost another job unexpectedly, they are ready if they do. We are no longer living a lie. We know where we are, we know where we are going, and we know how we are going to get there, she said. She and John wanted to leave me a gift for inspiring their total money makeover, but I assured them they already had. Chapter 3. Debt Myths. Debt is not a tool. Red-faced and fists clenched, the toddler yells with murder in his voice, "I want it! I want it! I want it!" We've all watched this scene unfold in the grocery store. We may even have watched our own children do this once. It is human nature to want it and want it now. It is also a sign of immaturity. However, our culture teaches us to live for the now. "I want it!" we scream. And we can get it if we're willing to go into debt. I've heard it said that if you tell a lie often enough, loud enough, and long enough, the myth will become accepted as a fact. Sometimes we don't even realize what we are doing is stupid because we've been taught that it is just the way you do it. And so we never ask why. Debt has been sold to us so aggressively, so loudly, and so often that to imagine living without debt requires myth-busting. Debt is so ingrained into our culture that most Americans can't even envision a car without a payment, a house without a mortgage, a student without a loan, and credit without a card. We've been sold debt with such repetition and with such fervor that most folks can't conceive of what it would be like to have no payments. We can't do without debt. Or can we? Working with tens of thousands of people on their total money makeover in the last several years, I have found that a major barrier to winning is our view of debt. Most people who have made the decision to stop borrowing money have experienced something weird. Ridicule. Friends and family, who are disciples of the myth that debt is good, have ridiculed those on the path to freedom. John Maxwell tells of a study done on monkeys. A group of monkeys were locked in a room with a pole at the center. Some luscious ripe bananas were placed at the top of the pole. If we look at Stanley's findings and hold those up against Ken and Barbie's life plan, we find Ken and Barbie to be lost, off course, and clueless. Ken and Barbie are in our office all the time for financial counseling. Last year they were here, and their names were Bob and Sarah. Bob and Sarah make $93,000 a year, and have for the last 7 years. What do they have to show for it? A $400,000 home that they still owe $390,000 on, including a home equity loan used to furnish the home. They have two $30,000 fleeced cars and a $52,000 credit card debt. But they have traveled well and were dressed in high fashion. The $25,000 left on a student loan from college 10 years ago is still outstanding because they have no money. On the positive side, they have $2,000 in savings and $18,000 in their 401k. These people have a negative net worth, but they really looked good. Bob's mom is very impressed, and Sarah's brother frequently stops by to ask for money because they are obviously doing well. They present the perfect picture of the American dream that has turned into a nightmare. Behind the perfect hair and the French manicure, there was deep desperation and a sense of futility. an unraveling marriage, and disgust with themselves. This may be one of the places our metaphor of weight loss for physical fitness breaks down. If your body were in the same condition that Bob and Sarah's money is in, everyone would think, 500 pounds is just too fat. Your problem would be apparent.